My message this morning is called Turbulent Effect. If you want to write that down because you're going to need it, because I'm going to ask you. There's a test at the end of the day. Turbulent Effect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to John chapter 16, verse 33. Hallelujah. I better get to preaching. Isn't that right, Pastor John? We have communion today. We got lots to do. Places to go, things to see. Praise God. John 16, verse 33. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, as we open your word, we pray, Father God, that you would open a window in heaven, Lord. Father God, so that I could speak the things that I ought to speak, Father God. And Lord, as long as you're opening windows, Father, I would just pray that you would open the windows of the hearts of your people here today. Those that know you, those that don't know you, Father God, that you would open those windows, God, and that you would pour something deep within them, Lord, that will hold them, sustain them, and cause them to walk in a better way that they came in than what they came in, Father. As they walk out the doors, Father God, they would be walking stronger and more closer to you, Father, because of what you've done this morning, Father. So, Lord, I thank you for your word. I know that it is a life-changing thing to receive the word of God. And God, I just pray that over your people in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to have you back, Leo and Eileen. I thought I'd just throw that in there. Praise God. We missed you guys. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 16, verse 33 is the last verse in the chapter, and it says this: "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." Everybody go, uh-huh. How many know that's true? Come on, does everybody know that's true? In this world you're going to have tribulation. But Jesus says this: "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen? If you guys say amen. How many know what a good cheer sounds like? Yeah. Come on, man. How many know what a good cheer sounds like? You know what? Let's just give Jesus a good cheer right now this morning. Ready? Yeah. It got a little better. It started out a little slow. Yeah. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Give him a good cheer. Jesus says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And we say, well, Lord, good cheer. And could you put up James chapter 1, verse 2? James chapter 1, verse 2 says this: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations." Is that what it says? Yeah, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, 6. Hallelujah. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials or troubles." Are you crazy, Lord? Count it all joy when I go through this stuff. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. I was talking to Sue Martinowski. Sue, glad to see you here. She's in the hospital last couple of days. Is that right? And I went to go see her. And while she was in the hospital, we were talking and praying. And I just... When I get in the hospital, I just want to talk about Jesus. Is that okay? When I get in the hospital, I don't want to talk about what you're sick of. Is that right? I don't want to talk about your stuff. Well, it's really not your stuff. What I was telling Sue, I said, you know what? You're probably here because God needs you to say something to one of these nurses or one of these doctors. Hallelujah. Because the fact of the matter is that you are healed in Jesus' name. And that's the fact. Hallelujah. So while you're laying here, just think about what you're going to say to these folks. Hallelujah. And I was talking to her, and as we were talking about things that were happening, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the church. Been getting a lot of phone calls. Been getting a lot of people are hurting. How many know people hurt? Is that right? People have trouble. Is that right? And what came out of my mouth was the word, what was that word? What came out of my mouth was turbulence. Do you remember me saying that to you? There's a turbulence. Hallelujah. How many of you like to fly? Anybody like flying in airplanes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jonathan, do you like flying? Man, this guy flies every week to get here. every week. I mean, you can think you got a long car drive. This guy's got to drive. Hallelujah. He flies every week to get here, so he's tired, a little tired of him. But some of us like to fly. I remember the first time I was in an airplane that was flying. Hallelujah. I was with my sister and another group of people. Is that right, Yolanda? We were going to Utah to do something for the mine. I remember what it was, but I won't tell you. Praise God. But while we were flying, somehow they told the pilot, there was a couple of guys, which was me. Is this right? Told the pilot that there was people in the back that had never flown in an airplane. You know what he did? I mean, have you ever seen somebody that turns a plane? They turned that plane on its side, didn't they, Yolanda? It went sideways. And you know, and I'm freaking out. What is this? What are they doing? Everybody's kind of laughing. The stewardesses are holding on, and it's just crazy. But how many of you have ever experienced turbulence when you've been in a plane? How many of you like that? It spills your coffee. Is that right? It disturbs the luggage down below. Praise God. What else does it do? It fills up the barf bags if it's bad enough. Isn't that right? People get sick over that kind of stuff. And then, it gets to your heart. You get kind of, what's going on? What is this? Hallelujah. Turbulence. Sometimes our lives hit turbulence. Is that right? Sometimes things happen. And God wants you to know that He knew that turbulence was going to come to you before you even knew it. Before it even got to you, He knew all about it. So I just want to share something that I found on turbulence. About a month ago, okay? This was August 31st of this year, 2016. United Airlines flight 880 en route from Houston to London. It was a Boeing 767 with 207 passengers and 13 crew members on board. That's a pretty good-sized plane, is that right? It's flying. And it hid some turbulence. And one of the people they were interviewing a couple of people, but one guy said that turbulence, there was 4 major drops. The turbulence was so bad in this plane that I think 10 people got hurt. And of those 10, 2 of them were the flight attendants. But the turbulence was so bad, they felt like the plane dropped. How many of you know they say thousands of feet? It must have dropped 1,000 feet. And how many of you felt the plane drop that way? I felt it drop, but I didn't feel that much of a hard of a hit. I felt little bumps. How many of you guys have felt all those little bumps? You know, turbulence. But the article said that they had to land in Shannon Airport in Ireland, so the 10 passengers and 2 flight attendants could be taken to the hospital. They blamed it on clear air turbulence. It was out over the sea, or over the ocean, which is different to detect and difficult to detect. The plane experienced 4 major drops, in which the first drop was a couple of seconds, which was long enough for somebody to think about, we're dropping. One passenger said, when the first drop, he says, the people that were not buckled in became airborne. Isn't that crazy? He says, all of a sudden, airborne. You're sitting in your chair. Woo! And I say, oh, man. Hallelujah. Turbulence. Hallelujah. So what the dictionary says about turbulence, it says, violent or unsteady movement of air or water or some other fluid. There's a noun but there are also some synonyms for the word turbulence. One synonym is conflict, and the other one is confusion. You heard that we've been in turbulent times. Our world right now is turbulent. Things are happening. People don't understand what's going on. Hallelujah. Turbulence. Do you know that God creates turbulence for you? Do you know that? Do you know that God begins to do something in your life? And when he does that thing in your life, he begins to shake things up a little bit. How many like that? How many like that? The article was talking about it on the wingtips. There's so much pressure being pushed on the wing to get that plane up in the air. You know, you've got high pressure on the bottom side of the wing, and then you've got low pressure on the top of the wing, so it actually lifts the plane. At the end of the plane, there's something happening where these two pressures are hitting each other, and there begins to be this turbulent spinning. It's almost like two tornadoes on the end of those two wings. And it was kind of cool because there was a little video you could play. You can listen to this. And a lot of times, you know how you hear it sounds like a plane just rumbling off in the distance? That's not really the plane. What you're actually hearing is the turbulence that's being created by that plane. And it was like a 1 minute plane of this turbulent that was at the end of an. After a plane had just taken off at the end of the runway, that this turbulence was being created. And you could actually hear a little crackling because it was making like static electricity, and you could hear this sparking going on. And then you could hear actually little popping noises. But it was these turbulence, these little small sideways twisters that were happening. Air traffic controllers know not to, after a plane is taken off, to allow a small plane to get in that vicinity, because those little things, if they get in there too fast before those things have had a chance to die out, it'll flip a plane, a small plane. Big planes don't usually have that kind of trouble, but this is just all because of turbulence, all the things that happen in turbulence. And this week for me, there's been kind of turbulent. That's what I told Sue. I said, there's been a lot of stuff happening that hasn't felt good. Hallelujah. How many of you like the story of David and Saul? Was David a good guy? Was Saul a good guy? He was, huh? How many love Saul? Hallelujah. Can I tell you this? Do you know that David needed Saul? David needed Saul so that God could use Saul to prepare him to be a king. I think David saw what in Saul, he goes, everything that he said, man, I don't need to be a king like that. How many know that? David was prepared by God with a turbulent time. Remember? Samuel went over and anointed David. You're anointed to be king. Okay. All right, cool. Saul hears about David, hires him to sing music in his castle for him, brings him in. Hey, man, we love you, man. The ladies are singing, David has killed, Saul has killed his 1,000, and David has killed his 10,000. How many of you know turbulence is starting to happen? Uh-oh. People started loving David. Saul didn't like it. Turbulence began to build up in David's life. How do you know that? You know that turbulence was there before that? You know that trouble had hit him before? You know God used a bear and a lion to prepare David for Goliath? Is that right? Troubles, folks. Troubles prepare us for what's ahead. Hallelujah. I'm sure not everybody, how many of you are ready for some trouble here this morning? I'm sure nobody's going to enjoy saying, oh man, what are you talking about? We don't need trouble. One thing, but I'm going to tell you something. There are little things happening that are indicating that things are coming. Can I say that to you? I'm going to say that to you again. There's little things happening that are indicating that things are coming, that God's bringing something. Hallelujah. Are you having problems? Are you having troubles? There are things coming against you. They're happening because God is doing something. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that sometimes we blame the devil for it? Do you know that you shouldn't do that? Do you know that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. I better go to the word for that one. Amen? Hallelujah. David needed Saul to help prepare him for that. David needed a lion and a bear to prepare him for Goliath. God is preparing you. Psalm 119, verse 71. Let's take a look at that. This is David. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might what? Oh, man. Lord, how come you gave me this message? I'll tell you what. Because God is saying, I'm doing something in the church. I really am. Hallelujah. I want them to understand who I am and what I'm doing for them. Hallelujah. For us. Amen. How many know God's for us? That's pretty weak. How many know God's for us? Yeah, he's for us. How many know he's not against us? Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. He's for us. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20, 21, and 23. I'm going to skip 22. Isaiah chapter 30. The Word of God says this, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. What? Is that right? Who's giving you adversity? What does it say in the Word of God? What does it say? It says, the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Let me just tell you, do you know what's teaching you? You're being taught by the things you go through. How many of you know that? You know, I heard a quote where it said, a sailor can't be a good sailor in calm waters, can't learn to be a good sailor with calm waters and a clear sky. A sailor can't be that. I remember talking to Brandon one time. Brandon lived up in Alaska, and it was on an island up there, and he was in the Coast Guard. And he had said one morning, they had reports that the weather was going to turn really bad. There was going to be 30-foot swells out in the ocean. And so he says, great, we ain't going anywhere, man. You know, they called him up, get ready, we're going. This is what we've been waiting for. Amen? Come on. They were waiting for those swells to get those men out there and train them. How to react in a hard place. Amen? How many know God wants us to know how to react in a hard place? Do you know that we have reactions? Do you know that sometimes we don't react correctly? How many of you say that? Amen? Is that right? Can you agree with that? Sometimes we just don't react correctly. Do you remember the story where there was a king that Elijah was telling... the king's enemies where he was going to be. So the king says, go get him. Where's he at? And they found out where he was at. And so early in the they went at night, and Elijah's servant comes out of the house, and he looks out and he goes, Master! And he runs in. He says, Master, what do we do? We're surrounded. There was chariots surrounded. They had surrounded him. And Elijah comes out and he looks. He looks around. Yeah, there's chariots. And what I love about what he told his servant, the first thing that the prophet told him was, fear not. You know, before you feel like you got to do something, there's something that you need to know not to do before you do anything. Now, listen to that. I'm going to say that again. We need to know what not to do before we do anything. Is that right? And the prophet told him, fear not. Folks, don't fear. Whatever you see coming towards you, whenever it gets towards you and gets close to you, don't fear. Do not fear. God has you. Is that correct? God knows it. He said, don't fear. And then the Bible says this, that Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. But it says it this way, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and there was chariots of fire all around him. Isn't that cool? Do you know that you have angels all about you? Do you know that they are what God has dispatched them to watch over you? The Old Testament talks about, and the New Testament, it says they will bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The angels of God are watching over you. Do you know that? Hallelujah. But yet we seem that we have a tendency to forget that, don't we? Something happens, man, we get scared, and we jump into this different mode. I gotta do something about it. No, you don't. When you're in the kingdom of God, the best thing to do is check it out. Don't fear. Everybody say yeah. Yeah. Don't fear. Hallelujah. How many times has the Word of God told us not to fear? Hallelujah. Do not fear. Woo. Hallelujah. Here's Isaiah 30, verses 21-22. Did I read that? Didn't finish it, though. Yet your teachers shall not be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your teachers are those things that you're going through. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Do you see that? This is the way, walk in it. Sometimes these things hurt us. Is that right? Sometimes we're going through things that hurt. But God says, don't try to get out of it. Just walk in it. Watch and you'll see how strong I am on your behalf. Just walk. We spend most of our time trying to get out of places that are making us uncomfortable. Is that right? When you're 30,000 feet in an airplane and it's dropping like that, there's a pretty helpless feeling, isn't that right? Because there's nothing you can do about it. Isn't that right? But we on the earth, sometimes we think we can do it. We can do everything we need to do to get out of what's going on. And you know what? If God has orchestrated it into your life, know this, that He's going to orchestrate it to get you out. Is that right? Is that correct? That's what He... How many know the book of Exodus? You know what the word Exodus means? What does it say? It means exit. One over the door, one over there, exit. How many of you guys know where the exits are here? You need to know. Something happens, then you can get out that way, you can get that way, you can get out that way. Just so you know. That's what the word exit means. I'm sorry, Exodus. It means exit. God is a God of exits for you. Is that right? He will not put you anywhere where you cannot hold up. Yet He will show you a way out. Is that right? And most of the time, the way out is just wait on Him. Ooh, man. Hallelujah. My way out is right in front of me. My way out is my chair. Praise God. You're going to help me out, Lord. You're going to help me out, Lord. You're going to get me out of this. Amen? Hallelujah. He's the one that sets you up. You go, oh man, don't tell me that. I'm going to tell you that. God sets you up so you can see how strong He is when He takes you out. Is that right? Pay attention to it. Let it teach you. Nothing like going into a problem and coming out not knowing anything. Is that right? When you go into something, talk to God about it and get something out of it so that when you come out, I've got something. God gave me something. He gave it to me. Because folks, I'm going to tell you something. Everything you go through is so that God can show you, to teach you, to help others to go through those same things. It's crazy. That's just what He does. Your strength will strengthen somebody else. Amen? Hallelujah. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18. I hope some of you are writing these things down, because it's all about turbulence. It's all about those turbulent times that happen in your life that you don't like, I don't like, but yet the Bible says count it all joy when you go through these things. Count joy. Make sure you're happy about it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Say amen to that if you believe it. Hallelujah. When Jesus came into your heart, He made you new, brand new. Old has passed away. Is that right? Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new, brand new. Why? Because God has washed everything away, and now you're new. And then the next verse, I love it, says, and all things. Is that what it says? Well, it says, well, some things are of God. Well, a few things are of God. Well, not everything can be of God. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that, does it? Some of you have a different translation. Does it say all things? All things are of God who has reconciled us to Christ, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me tell you something. Everything that happens to you is God. It's God. Don't get nervous. Don't get scared. Don't think that you got to jump right now to do something. You got to say something right now. Just relax. How many like relaxing? Anybody like relaxing? I love to relax. Relax. My wife doesn't tell me to relax so much because I give her a mean look. She'll tell me, Henry, relax. I need to be doing something. No, relax. Relax. Because God does have you. Hallelujah. Mm-mm. Hallelujah. The reason he does that is because he's trying to get you somewhere. Is that right? He's trying to take you someplace. Is that right? How many know we got to do communion today? Hallelujah. But what is it about communion that's so important to us? It's so we remember what Jesus has done for us. Amen? We remember what Jesus has done for us. For what reason should we remember what Jesus has done for us? Because it is very vital to us to know that he has plans for us. He has washed us from our sins, made a new man or new creation out of us so that we can be different. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes people want to hold on to what they're holding on to. Is that right? Sometimes they want to put it in their back pocket where it says, man, pastor don't know I got this. Is that right? That's it. Pastor don't know I have it. Nobody knows I got this. Oh, yes, sir. Somebody does know. And God is trying to remove those things from us. Is that right? Because he does have better things for us. He's trying to get us to a different place, a different position than what we've been for in the past. Let me know that. How many want to live in the past? We can live in the past. I can tell you all my old stories. I can tell you, I can do that. Live in the past and not be able to reconcile or get you to think that God is trying to get you to your future. He's trying to push you there. He's using elements in your life to get you to say, hey, God, I need your help. And then when you finally begin to figure out, you know what? I can't do anything without you, God. I can't do it. Can I tell you, that's one of the little turbulences that I've been having. And I'm tired of it. And I'm telling you what, God has finally spoken to me. He says, hey, you know what? Man up, boy. Get it, man. He says, I've called you you are in a generation. You know how many know that we are in a generation right now that is touching the world? That's what God's called us to. We can't mess around with it. I'm going to tell you, you want to keep your filthy little habit? Keep it. But it's not going to take you anywhere. It will not take you anywhere. You get me? Keep your filthy habit. But release it, as God has been trying to get you to do. Release that thing and watch what he does. And now he says, I'll take you somewhere now. Now you're going to see what I can do. Hallelujah. Ooh, man, let me tell you something. Hallelujah. When things are going wrong and happening, it's time to sit down and take an account of what's going on. Is that right? When you're having trouble, just sit down. Sit back. Okay, God, I'm going to sit back here. Let me ask you, do you know God wants you to rest? Take rest, right? We talked about that, right? I said, relax, relax, relax. I want you to look at this summer. I want you to look at this scripture here. I was talking to a brother the other day, and this scripture kept coming up. Little did I know that God was preparing a message with it. I didn't realize it was in the message. But this is Isaiah 30, verse 7. Can you put that up? I want you to look at this scripture. Woo, man, I feel the Holy Ghost on this one. Isaiah 30, verse 7. The Egyptians shall help in vain. Can I tell you this, church? The world can't help you. There's nothing the world has that will help you being a Christian. Do you know that? God is your help. He's the only one. Hallelujah. And I know sometimes I say some weird things up here. Sometimes I say some things that, man, I'm not trying to offend anybody, not trying to offend their profession or what they do. But let me just tell you something. Your trust needs to be on God and Him alone. God doesn't want you trusting anybody else. He says, no, man, I'm the one that called you by name, that formed you in the womb of your mother, and I am the one that will take you to where you need to go. You need to trust me. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Is that right? And don't lean on what? Your own understanding is what he says. Trust me is what he says. But look at what he says. Oh, thank you, man. You're fast. Put that other scripture back up. Hallelujah. For the Egyptians shall help in vain. God doesn't want you help. Doesn't want the world helping you. He says, and to no purpose. He says, therefore, I have cried concerning this. There is us. Can you say that? Can you get that? That word there. He's talking about God is saying, hey, their strength is to what? Sit still. Is that right? Sit still. Just sit still. That's where your strength is, folks. Because God wants to say something to you in that event. God wants to teach you in that event. God wants to take you someplace in that event. So sit still. Just hold on. What happens when turbulence comes on in an airplane? What happens? What happens? You know what happens? A little light flashes up front and it says what? Fasten your seatbelts. Remember the thing, the lady gets up there. Yeah. Fasten your seatbelt. Yeah. The light comes on and it says, turbulence ahead. The light comes on and says, fasten your seatbelt. You know what it's saying? Sit still. You know that the pilots are trained not to fight the turbulence? They say, there's nothing you can do. There's even a device in the plane that actually causes the instruments to relax. I love it. Because the instruments in the plane will try to keep that plane on course. It will try to do the adjustments. But it's going through turbulence. It's rising. It's falling. It's going up. It's going down. So those instruments will try to take over and try to make corrections for it. But there's something that they placed in there that those instruments will relax. It will go into like a mode where it doesn't do anything because it senses that it's in turbulence. The pilots are trained. Don't fight it. Just let it go. Turbulence doesn't hurt the plane. Hallelujah. Scares folks, but the pilots are used to it. This is a quote. Let me just tell you this. This is what there's a quote here that I put down. Turbulence is an act. This is how many of you guys know Sully? Sullenberger. You guys know him? He's the guy that landed the airplane on the Hudson. Anybody seen the movie? Oh man, I went to go see it. I love that man. Tom Hanks is crazy, man. But anyway, it's a good movie. But here's a quote, and Sullenberger is one of the guy that said this, and he said, turbulence is an aggravating nuisance for everybody, including the crew, but it's also, for lack of a better term, extremely normal. It's a normal thing in an airplane. It really is. Pilots know it. They all get it. We as passengers, especially if it's your first time, you're freaked out. You don't know what's going on. The plane is going down. Is that right? He says, generally, flight plan adjustments are made for the comfort of the passengers. Sometimes if they find it is too bumpy, they'll get the plane up out of it, take it somewhere else so that it will calm the passengers down. Is that all right? Folks, let me just say this to you. God is trying to call me this morning. Look, yeah, you're going through some turbulence. There's some things happening to you that doesn't feel good. But he's saying this to you. He said, hey, I know everything that's going on. And I am in control. Fasten your seatbelt. Let it fly. Just let it fly. I got you into this, I'll get you out. Is that right? I am a God of Exodus. I'm the God that gives you an exit so you can get out of it. It's pretty cool, man. Hallelujah. When I was thinking on this, I got up this morning and right when I opened my eyes, man, I said, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this day. I'm going to say that this morning, every morning. Thank you, Lord. I made it through. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Open my eyes. And the Lord spoke right then something to me. And he said this, change is in the wind. Change is in the wind. And I said, yeah. So I went back and I looked at, because I had written down effect. Turbulence was this, violent or unsteady movement of air or water. But the word effect, it is a change that is a result or consequence of an action or a cause. That turbulence you're going through, God says, I'm making a change. I'm changing you. How many say I'm changing me? Everybody say that, I'm changing. Say it again, I'm changing. God's changing me. God's changing me. He's changing you. He's changing you. Listen, what he's doing for you is he's taking out everything that is not of him and he's installing what is of him. Amen. That scripture, it says this. Jesus said, fear not, or be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Why is that so important? Why is that so important? This is the last scripture I'm going to give you. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Here's another scripture that came up to me during the week. And when I spoke it, man, it was, I didn't realize that it was, that God was doing something, placing it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Did you get it? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I want you to see that. God is changing you. He's changing you. And he's able to do according. He's all that you ask or think. How many like thinking about stuff? You ever think about things that you've never thought about? That's kind of goofy, isn't it? You ever thought about things you never thought about, man? Well, I don't know. I never thought about turbulence so much. Is that all right? Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and then he says this, according to the power that works what? In you. That's it. God is placing a power in you that's going to cause him to do exceeding abundant above everything that you can ask or think. Because that same power that lives in you is going to begin to give you things. He's going to begin to speak things to you. He's going to begin to give you words to tell somebody, to say something to someone. He's going to begin to give you an imagination or creativity that's going to help the kingdom of God in ways that nobody's ever even thought about it. How many of you know I'm tired of following the world and putting up what the world puts up? I want fresh anointing, fresh imagination, fresh creativity. Because when the world see it, they're going to say, that's unusual. Now unto him that is able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think, things that people haven't even thought of, God's going to do it. And he's going to use the church. And he's doing it now, folks. Step into the water. Step into wherever you're at and say, God, I'm for it, man. And you know what? When you go home tonight, hallelujah. Take a look at your notes. How many took notes? No, don't tell me. I don't want to know. Take a look at your notes. Go online and listen to the message again. And see what God begins to talk to you about. Because it is a personal thing to you. It is. It really is.